Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day and good morning to everyone who's watching online today in our online church. We just appreciate that you're with us in the room. Harvest, would you just give it up right now for all who are watching online? We're just thankful that they are a part of us here this morning. Well, Christina and I have been a part of a family of churches called Ministers Fellowship International for over 30 years. And fathers in the faith that we have walked with, in fact, Bob Isabel texted me this morning to wish me a happy Father's Day. He's a spiritual father in the faith to Christina and I. And we just have appreciated so much the relationships that we have shared over these years. And that has also proven to be part of the strength of this house, is that we're surrounded by other churches and other spiritual fathers and mothers that strengthen and care about what we're doing here in Cornwall, Ontario. In November, Chris and I tentatively are booked for a conference, a Ministers Fellowship International conference in Brazil. And so we've been looking forward to that. And so we thought we would bring Brazil here this morning. And the city that we'll be in is the city from this wonderful couple that are, if you guys could come on the platform this morning. And this is Thiago and Tidy. And they are firehouses in their city. They oversee, they have a huge responsibility amongst a number of campuses and a very large growing church in the city that they'll share about in a moment. And so in amongst their people, these are giants. These are people that are getting it done for God, that are believing God for miracles. They're pressing it. Like, they don't take no for an answer. This couple presses in until they get the yes, because heaven's already given them the yes. Heaven's already given the yes. So they're putting their amen. Yes and amen to the glory of God. And that's the dynamic that, and the passion of this couple. Would you stand to your feet today and just honor this amazing couple today as they come and bring the word.
God will bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Yeah. Thank you so much. You may see it.
We are so happy to be here. It's an honor. Thank you, Pastor, to have you, us here. And God bless you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pastor Roy, and the entire church. Oh, yes. I'm preaching with two microphones because I'm heading for the double anointing. Maybe with two microphones I can have it. So we are really thrilled to be here this morning. Thank you so much. The entire church for receiving us with such love. And it's a warming reception. Such a warming reception. Just when I step in, this lady, Mary, she received me with so much love. And, oh, I don't know if I know you. And I said, that's my first time here. Your first time here. She hugged me and already brought me to receive a gift card. So, and then when I was about to receive my gift card, someone told her, oh, I think he's the speaker this morning. But I want my gift card. So after the service, my wife and I, we're going to the Walmart to spend my Canadian dollars there. So we are so happy to be here. Tari and I, we have two kids. I have a picture. I don't know if okay, so that's my entire family, Emily and Nicholas. Emily is 8, Nicholas is 4. They are in Brazil. We live in south of Brazil. They are with their grandparents, so they are having the best time because you all know how it is, the house of the grandparents. And I should tell you from the start that, in case you haven't noticed, English is not my first language. Shocking, huh? But actually, I never had a formal education in English. I came from a really poor family, even for Brazilian standards. Our family were really poor. When I was 13 years old, I had to drop out school to work with my dad in a truck mechanic shop. And then my family got saved when I was 14. My whole family got saved. And at church, the pastors told me and my family, no, you have to go back to school. So I went back to night school because I had to keep working the whole time, the whole day with my, to help in my house, to help my parents. And I finished school in night school, but I never had education in English because I always went to Brazilian public schools, and in Brazil, public schools are really tough. And but I learned English just by myself through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Because we are part, our church are part of the MFI. Every time that someone came from US or Canada to our church, I went to tag along with them and try to communicate and try to talk. So I started to reading things in English, hearing songs and playing video games as the teenagers like. But I do know that it was a grace from the Holy Spirit, and the same grace is here tonight, to this morning. So I really believe that the same grace that came upon me and taught me how to speak in English can speak to your heart directly. So my poor English will not keep the Holy Spirit to talk to you this morning. So I do not rely on my English, but I do rely on the Holy Spirit, because Revelation 7:9 says that through, before the throne, all cultures, all tribes, all nations, all languages, all everyone, to, we together singing, holy is the Lord, worthy is the Lamb. And this morning we are before the throne of Jesus Christ, and the presence is here, and He will touch your heart this morning in Jesus' name. But yes, maybe at times in this sermon, my English won't be perfect. But I just ask you guys one thing. Please, do not post video on the worship fails. Okay? If I messed something up with my English, do not post in the worship fails, because one of my goals here is to not become a meme. So, I will try to... So I heard today here in Canada is Father's Day, in Brazil, Father's Day just in August, but happy Father's Day to all fathers. And I think the greatest goal a father can have is to try to learn from Jesus how to gain the heart of their children, how to communicate with them, how to lead the family, how to lead your wife. So to that, I think we have to see how Jesus treated people around Him, how Jesus talked to people around Him, how Jesus touched the heart of the people around Him, and learning from that, applying that to our family. Amen? So this morning I want to share something God has been speaking to me about deeply in John chapter 4. If you have your Bible with you, you can open in John chapter 4. We are reading from the first verse. And this is a story that can teach us so much. It has so much deep inside it. And this morning, I want to read from it. So John chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that He was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. So He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, He had to go to Samaria. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. Sir, the woman said, You have nothing to draw with. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I don't get thirsty again, and I have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you said you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped in this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place you must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither in this mountain or neither in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God in spirit, God is spirit, and his worships must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I'm he. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking to a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her jar, the woman went back to the town and said to people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So this passage has so much to offer to us this morning. And I think we can learn some things about this passage. And the first thing is about divine appointments. Look, in verses 3 and 4, it says, so he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. And we must know here that when the scripture says that he had to go through Samaria, it's not that he had no other options. It's not like that was the only option Jesus had. His choice was not a geographical choice. Because, in fact, there were two more ways to go from Judea to Galilee that you won't cross Samaria. In truth, all Jews, they always avoided that way, that route that Jesus took. Because Jews had something going on with the Samaritans. We know that. They hated each other. They avoided each other. So, it's because of that, the Jews had another way crossing the Jordan River twice to go all back to Galilee without passing to Samaria. And that was the natural thing to every Jew. If they had to go from Judea to Galilee, they will avoid going through Samaria. Yet Jesus is telling, I had to go through Samaria. This is a choice from something higher than just a rude choice. Cultural context said they will never associate with Samaritan because they had a ethnic, theological, historical division. They hated each other. Still, Jesus had to go through Samaria. The Greek word here for this had to is the word edei, which often implies a prophetic, a divine order to it. In Luke 24, when Jesus has been resurrected and he's walking with his disciples in the road to Emmaus, and he's explaining about his death and resurrection, and in Luke 24, 26, he says, the Son of Man, he had to die and resurrect. And the word here is edei. The Son of Man, he edei to die and resurrected. Because he had something from the Father. He had this spiritual weight in his shoulders that he had to die for our sins. It was not a coincidence. So when he said he had to, he edei to go through Samaria, he had a divine appointment. Something that was not in the man's calendar, but it was in the God's calendar. And the same way Jesus cared for that woman, the same way Jesus changed his course to meet with that woman, the same way Jesus make all everything working to be in that well at the same time, Jesus is here this morning because he had to be with you this morning. His presence was relieved during this worship, not because the band was good, and they were good, but the presence came not because you have a nice building and your building is amazing. The presence was released this morning because Jesus had to, he had day to be with you. He died and resurrected to be with you this morning. And when we know that, when we understand that, we go through life with another understanding. Jesus is intentional. Jesus is here today. Jesus is along you, alongside you. He wants to have a life with you. He's intentional. And so should we be. The same way we should ask the Holy Spirit, what is in God's calendar? That's why Jesus, we can see in the scripture, Jesus all the time, he's going apart to pray. She's setting time apart to know the Father's will. Because it was imperative to him. It was important to him to know the God's calendar. So he will be at the places the Father wants him to be. You and me should move the same way. You know, some years ago, I had one Friday evening, I had my disciples in my home, and we were having this evening praying and having some board games, and my house was full. And so we ordered some pizza, and I went to outside to receive the pizza and then pay the pizza man. And while I was receiving the pizza, I saw my neighbor. She was a 20 years girl, lived just beside me and Tidy. She was new at our neighborhood. And it was, I think, 10 p.m. at evening. And she was coming back from her work. And I didn't know her personally yet. Until that point, we never spoke to each other. But when I was paying the pizza man, and she was getting to her home, and she just greeted me, and I could see in her eyes, not just she was tired because she was working late that day. I could see in her eyes sadness. I could see in her eyes a weight. So I greet her, and I asked for her name, and she said, Stephanie. And I said, Stephanie, I think it's not a coincidence we are crossing this evening here. I have in my house some youth from my church. And I think we crossed here tonight for a purpose. I think God wants to save you. I think you are going through some sadness in your life. I can see you're tired. Don't you want to come in and have pizza with us, and we will pray for you? And it's not common for a woman to be like receive an invitation from a man she doesn't know. 10 p.m. in Brazil is not even safe. But she said yes. She came in, Tari and the girls received her, and they prayed for her. And the next day, it was a Saturday, we had the youth service. She came, she surrendered her life to Jesus. Some months later, I was baptizing her, and she's a member of our church. She serves in our church. She disciples in our church. You know, maybe there are some appointments that God wants to put in your calendar, and we have to be listening to God's will. So every morning we have to pray, God, that's my calendar, but I submit my calendar to yours. Yes. Fathers, I'm a father for the last 9 years, so I don't have a lot of experience to share. But if I can share some advice for fathers today, surrender your calendar to God. And ask the Holy Spirit, what is the main things that you should do to your kids to touch their hearts? The scripture says that Jesus was tired. But the fact that he was tired didn't stop him to do God's purpose. So sometimes you get home, you are tired. But maybe in those moments that we are tired are the moments that God will use us to touch our kids' hearts, to share something that will change their lives. So we have to move. We have to move thinking about God's calendar, be intentional, having this understanding that sometimes God have divine appointments. Another thing this passage can teach me is God touches unlikely people. God sees the unlikely people. Who is this woman? We don't know. We don't know her name. She's anonymous. The verses also says that so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. So Sychar, it's a region that traces back to Joseph's inheritance. It's a place full of history, full of a meaning. There's a meaning of the alliance of God there. But the Jews had forgotten Sychar. Because now Sychar belongs to Samaritan. The Jews, they forgot the city, they forgot the well. Actually, they dug their own well to not depend in that well that is placed in Sychar. So, if you ask all the religious people in that time, a place to God reveals himself, they will never say God will reveal himself in Sychar, in that place. They will never say that God would reveal himself in that hour. The scripture said she came to draw water and it was noontime. Have you ever went to Middle East? I went to Pakistan, and I can assure you, like in the middle of the day, with the sun of the Middle East, it's not a good time to have a walk to bring a heavy jar of water in your shoulder. When I first got to Pakistan, I arrived, it was like 4:30 a.m. And I went out of the airport, and it shocked me because all the stores were open and people were buying, selling, like they were buying fruit 4:30 in the morning. Who buys fruit 4:30 in the morning? And I asked the guy was with me, is something happened today? It's a special holiday or something? And he said, no, that's the hour we go to go out to buy things and carry things now and by evening, because during the day the sun is too hot, so you want to stay inside. So that. It was an unusual time to meet someone. That's probably why the disciples left Jesus in the well. Because they knew no one will come. Because for the Jews, only the shadow of a Samaritan, if passed in a priest, that priest will become impure for ceremonial work in the temple. Because that's the way they saw the Samaritans. So the disciples probably left Jesus alone by himself. They let us go to the market to buy and come back later. So you do not interact with these people. And that woman, it was an unlikely person. The first thing, she was a woman. In their culture, the fact she was a woman already dequalified her. For the Jew culture and that society and that time, we can see there was a rabbi, a really important rabbi in that time, in Jesus' time, called Rabbi Eliezer. And we can find his studies to nowadays. And in one of his scrolls, he have written the following phrase, Rabbi Eliezer. It's better to burn the Torah down than to teach it to a woman. And that was the way they think at that time. To a Samaritan woman? Still? So, that was the unlikely setup. The most unlikely person, still. Jesus, our Lord, He uses the unlikely people to do the amazing work. Yeah. She was the first missionary sent off. Jesus sent her off before He sent off His disciples. Before sending the 12 and later the 70 to preach, she was sent off first. Yeah. So good. Our Lord loves to use the unlikely people. I'm one unlikely people. I'm one of them. Let me tell about me myself just a little bit. I grew up as a really poor kid in Brazil, in South Brazil. My parents never went to school. As a kid, I was really, really shy. I couldn't speak to people. I couldn't speak in public at all. I was a nerd. So in school, I was that nerd that sit in the first chair. I read all the books. I just got straight A's. When the teacher asked us to have like group work to do, I do it just by myself. I looked to the other people and said, you can put your names here. You got an A. I just asked for one thing. I do not go up front to present it. You present it. Because I can't. I couldn't go in front of a class of 12 kids to speak. I couldn't. So, when my family got saved, I was 14 years old. And then I went, some months later, I went to a retreat. And in that retreat, God make really strong things in my life. I received the Holy Spirit. And once the retreat was over, we were preparing to go to the buses to come back to church. Someone from the team came and said, oh, so the pastor wants you to share a testimony because you're the youngest here. So the pastor wants you to share a testimony to the church. And I said, no way. I can't speak. No, it's going to be easy. He will help you. And I said, no, you can't understand. I cannot speak in front of people. No. Okay, so we are at the bus driving to the church, and the same person come back and said, so, Thiago, please, the pastor really wants a teenager to share, and you are the youngest one. And I said, look, I can't help you. I can't speak. It's not possible for me to speak. And he said, no, it's going to be really easy. You just stand there, and he will ask you three questions. What's your name? And you say, Thiago. And he will say, what is your age? And you say, 14. And he will ask, how is the retreat for you? And we, at the time, the church had this really, like, cringy thing. They say, how is the retreat for you? And they replied, tremendous. So he will ask, how was the retreat for you? And you say, tremendous. And I thought, okay, Thiago, 14, tremendous. And being like pressured up in the bus, you know, I said yes. But I was like suffering. Like those, like, I don't know, 5 kilometers were everlasting, you know. I was okay. Oh, Thiago, 14, tremendous. Thiago, 14, tremendous. Went to the service, and it was the worst worship time of my life because I was suffering. I have to go there and I have to speak and I can't do that. Thiago, 14, tremendous. Thiago, 14, tremendous. And then it was the testimony time and someone shared, the other person shared, and then, oh, and we have a teenager. Oh my God, that's my time. Thiago, 14, tremendous. Thiago, 14, tremendous. And they asked me, and the pastor was there with the microphone, holding the microphone, and, oh, what is your name? Thiago. 14, tremendous. 14, tremendous. Okay, I can do this. And how old are you? I said, 14. Okay, just one more. Tremendous. You can do this, Thiago. And he asked me, and how was the retreat for you? And then he gave me the microphone, and I held it. When I held the microphone, brothers and sisters, I felt the Holy Spirit in me. And I started preaching. And I started preaching and sharing. And I can't explain for you, but I can remember as it was yesterday. I finished saying, I lived my whole life until now afraid and as a prisoner. But now I'm free and I will preach the gospel. And when I woke up tomorrow, the hell is going to be afraid because I'm going to preach the gospel. And since then, I've been preaching the gospel. And since then, I've been facing my anxieties. I've been facing my fears because now I have the Holy Spirit. And I know. God uses the unlikely to do mighty things. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Maybe my tears gave
Okay. I'm sorry. I tried to not to cry next service. Okay. I can keep going. I don't.
Maybe you are here and you have your disqualification list long. You have your traumas, you have your sins, you have the things you missed. Maybe you're too young, maybe you're too old, maybe. something. If your disqualification list is not the gifts of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, I longer. The list of the resources from the Holy Spirit, I way longer. Man, if I got a dollar, every time I heard, that's okay. If I got a dollar, every time I heard that person isn't fit for ministry, I would be rich. But I'd be 10 times richer if I got a dollar for every time I secretly thought that about someone, about myself. Because many times you and me, we just look at the challenges and you see, and we think, I cannot do that. But Spurgeon said something that it marked my life. He said, what the law demands of me, the gospel produces in me. So every time that I'm facing a challenge or something that I feel I'm not prepared for it, I just look at Jesus and I say, he has the resource. He has the resources for me. So, to sum up this evening, I just want to finish with something really powerful this morning. In John chapter 5, verses 23-26, it says, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming. Then Jesus declared, I'm the one speaking to you. I'm He. Look, the greatest revelation about worship in the New Testament wasn't given for a Jew or a Levite. Can you see that? The greatest revelation about worship in the New Testament is given to a Samaritan woman. Jesus said, I'm He. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. The first time Jesus is revealing Himself as the Messiah is not for one of His 12. It's for a nameless woman. Because in the kingdom of God, status, family, power, money, none of this matter. None of this matter. Let me tell you, the thirsty, they got their revelation first. The hungry, they got their revelation first. If you have thirsty and hungry for God, He has something to give to you. He has something to reveal to you. It's worthy. It's worthy to go on with your life, striving for a revelation. If you're a Christian, you must strive for a revelation. You must ask for a revelation. Ask for this living water. Ask for something new in the Word of God. So many things can drive your life. You can be driven for so many reasons, such as dreams, feelings, fears, frustrations. Many people are driven by their frustrations. Excitement, money, lack of money. But when we move because of a revelation, everything changes. This woman, she came to the well, lonely, avoiding people. Do you know why she's coming in the middle of the day? Because she knew at that time no one was supposed to be there. The woman at that time, they never went by themselves. They went as a group because it would be safer and easier to carry their jars. She was avoiding people. But by the end of the passage, she's going back to their village and coming out people and connecting with people and inviting people. Because when you have a revelation, the purpose of God takes part in your life, and then you are doing things that you thought they were impossible. If you are here this morning and you are thinking your life has no purpose, I want to assure you, this is a divine appointment. I'm not here just because Pastor Hoy invited me. I'm not here just because I'm traveling in Canada. I'm here because God wants to encounter someone in this place. And if you are here and you never had the chance to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, now is the time. I want to everyone, if you can, to bow your head where you are. Bow your head where you are. And if you never had the chance to have this decision of starting a life with Jesus, this is your well. Jesus is here today because of you. And maybe you have a long list of disqualifications. Maybe you have a long list of things that were blocking you to live this life with Jesus. But today, Jesus, through the work of the cross, He's reaching you. He's inviting you to a new life, a new way of life. And He has a tremendous purpose for your life. So where you are, the way you are right now, connect with Jesus. And if you can, pray along with me, saying, Jesus, I believe you are here today. And I believe you can change my life. I declare Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. In Jesus' name, I will live what God has prepared for me. I regret my sins, and I trust in God's life for me. In Jesus' name. And if you believe, just say amen. With your head bowed, I want to ask, is there someone here that wants to assure that your life belongs to Jesus? If you're your first time doing this prayer, or maybe it's the first time that you are taking a step toward Jesus' life for you. If you are here today, just have a sign with your hand. I want to bless you where you are. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus today, just give me a sign with your hand where you are. Jesus, I bless everyone who is taking this decision today. I bless, Jesus, every family represented here. And Jesus, I want to say, may they walk with you. May they grow in your word. May they grow in the life that Jesus has prepared for them, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask everyone to stand up, if you can. I just want to finish saying, fathers, all fathers here, I want to challenge you to surrender your calendar to God. And to let God put new appointments in your calendar. New appointments with your kids. New appointments with your wife, your family. But even with a colleague in work, a neighbor. I want to pray for everyone who entered this room today feeling you're not enough. Maybe you came here thinking
You're not enough for God. You're not enough for the ministry. You're not enough for being used. I want to invite everyone here today to surrender your strengths. Because when you are doing a work and you are relying on your natural resources, what you know how to do, when you know how to speak, that's a regular work. But when you are going to a place that you don't have the resources to do it, now you are preparing yourself to live supernatural things, a supernatural work. And Jesus is inviting some people here that you are blocking yourself to do something. You are blocking yourself because you are disqualifying yourself. But today, you are taking a step. Today, you are saying yes to Lord. Yes to Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you search for water many wrong wells. But today, I like to ask the Samaritan woman, I like to meet you and realize who you are, Jesus. What do you have to me and for my life? In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Great job, great job.
In you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in
Jesus, thank you that you meet us at that place, the most unlikely place, at the most unlikely time, and I'm the most unlikely person, and yet you chose to meet with me. You chose to meet with us today, and Lord, in that meeting, there was living water, and Lord, we drink today. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder that, Lord, he who is in us is greater, greater, greater. You are for us. Lord, you are in us. Lord, today you've revealed yourself as the one who calls us by name, chooses us. And so, Lord, we go out today in strength. We go out in calling. And we go out knowing today, oh God, even though we thought we were the most unlikely today, because of your calling, because of your choosing, we are able to do all that you've called us to do today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Go have an amazing Father's Day. Love you guys so much.
Jesus.